Say when. Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are so glad you're with us today, and remember that we are the resistance. Oh, Kevin, man, buddy, I am so glad you're sitting across from me. It's so nice, you know, having someone to go back and forth with about topics, someone you know, you have likes with as far as how we see things and understand God and just some awesome, and hunting, we both love hunting.
Yes, yeah. It is. It is awesome. And it beats the post-COVID Zoom.
Yeah, right.
I hate that. You know, you do it when you have to. But when you and I live 5 minutes apart.
I know.
It's great.
Yeah, it makes it easy.
Super blessed to be in this town with you.
Yeah, I wish we were in Colorado.
I left Colorado.
I know you did.
And I was happy to.
You know, I know it's changed quite a bit. Yeah. I love the mountains. I love the small towns. Oh, man, getting
that's different.
Like a wood pizza up in the mountains. And oh.
At the Chiba Hut?
Yeah.
I mean, Pizza Hut. Did I say Chiba Hut?
Chiba Hut. I love it. I mean, the smell of the, you know, the pines and the aspens and the fall colors.
Crisp air.
Oh, yeah.
And as we said before, all the stars.
Yeah, you see them at night.
It's unbelievable.
No city lights, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, I left, you know, my wife and I left there 18 years ago now. And honestly, don't look back. Put the hand to the plow and happy to be here. I look around when I'm here and I think the same thing.
I told you, one of these days I'm going to write a book called Grow Where You're Planted.
Oh, that's a great name for a book.
I've got a picture of a tree upside down growing out of a cliff. And that's what made me think of that.
You sometimes quote The Message. That's by Eugene Peterson. I'm not a fan of The Message. You know that.
Yeah.
But he wrote a book about planting. You should read that before you write your book.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
I have a copy somewhere. It's a really good book.
Yeah, the whole thing is about, you know, wherever you are, again, God has it. The journey is the destination, right? Yeah. And it's that journey that God has us all on, you know, that we trust him with it. And so wherever you are, you can be bitter. Like, here I am in central Indiana where it's flat, and I'm like, come on. I would rather be in Colorado, but God has a plan, and you have to trust him. And then, again, grow where you're planted.
Yeah, it's called Under the Unpredictable Plant. Okay. Under.
And that's Eugene Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, the unpredictable. Boy, isn't that a key word here.
Yes, for sure. He talks about his early ministry and like the chasms, the abyss, as he calls it, that he faced in early whatever. Hey, I've got a story. You mentioned to me the other day, hey, love starting these podcasts with stories about hunting, fishing, whatever. Think of some, Kev. And I'm like, well, I got a lot of stories, but I have to go, well, what's this relevant to?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I love to hunt and I love to fish. I love to hunt more than I love to fish. I haven't really kind of fished like smaller stuff, trout, you know, bass, in probably 20 years. I love fishing Alaska, you know, everything from salmon to halibut and ling cod.
You got to fish those just for the halibut. I mean,
you're really finny. That's very funny. Oh, on a scale of 1 to 10.
It was fishy, that's for sure.
Fishy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so here we go. I'm out hunting geese with my brother-in-law, Brian. He's a pastor out in Colorado. And I'm going to say Kevin Fair. Again, maybe it was Matt, his brother, Kevin's not, maybe he wasn't there, I don't know, but I really feel like he was, and we'll get to why here in a second. So we're hunting geese, we're on the north of Denver, maybe 45 minutes north, and we're on a fence line. And down that fence row, maybe half a mile to the south of us, important, is another group of hunters. Of course, the geese are traveling south, it's wintertime, and they're coming right by us, which is wonderful, and we felt like we should probably shoot, because that's what we're there for, we're hunting. And boom, pop, pop, a couple geese drop. This happens 2 or 3 times. We're getting close to our limit. And all of a sudden, we hear these guys yelling at us. And they've come up to where we are. And they have their guns, which at first you kind of go, I guess.
They're just kind of walking with them.
Well, they're screaming mad at us.
Yeah, okay, there's a little difference.
Yeah.
First sign.
Yeah, but also, you don't usually leave a gun behind.
Yeah.
Well, I don't either.
If you're approaching someone, though, you might want to be threatening.
Yeah.
Down
so
to your side.
Or the main guy that was screaming at us had a double barrel. It was broken open. He had it pointed down towards the ground. After 3 or 4 minutes of pretty heated exchange, because I was standing ground for what we were doing. I was like, he was telling us that we were taking his geese.
Right.
I'm like, we're just supposed to watch them fly by us until they get to you? Like,
right.
That doesn't make any sense to me. And I was talking like that. I go, I'm like, just explain this to me. I don't get it. Like, first of all, we were here before you. And then second of all, why would we, if they come by you, are you going to fly them fly till they come to us? Like, that makes no sense. Anyway, he just couldn't stomach it. So he unbroke his gun. I don't know what the actual term for that is, but he cocked his gun is what I would call it because it's a double barrel and he's ready to shoot. He cocks it and he starts to lift it up. I'm like, I am a dead man.
Mm.
I am going to get shot over a stupid goose in the middle of nowhere. And I could have walked away. I could have. I'm a principal's guy, so I didn't because I'm stupid. And then I think I'm a dead man. I know that if I'm a dead man, he's a dead man because I know Brian has his hand on his 44.
Yeah.
And he's a deadly shot. He was marksman, whatever, with the sheriff's department and with the police department and whatever. So I'm still a dead man, and that's not good. I don't want to die.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I have had many of opportunities where I have earned it. I don't feel like I earned it this time. But praise the Lord, I never died in any of those. And praise the Lord, I didn't die this time. I don't remember what happened. I feel like I just started to back up and walk away and say it's not worth it. And we did leave. On our way out, we saw that their truck had a ton of geese in the back. So Kev, I'm pretty sure, again, that's why I think it was Kevin, made a call to the conservation officer team to get him out there to check on these guys. But
yeah,
when you get something that rattles you like that, and I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Left turn, Clyde. It's kind of a left turn and it isn't here. You're probably going, what are you doing, Brent? What are you talking about? So we're getting into a podcast today that's about a subject, you know, what do you do when you're faced with basically life and death?
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle it? Especially when something comes out of the blue that you didn't see coming, right? That you weren't prepared for, you didn't think would ever happen. So, yeah. So bear with me, guys, as I go through this. There might be some pauses if you wonder if I'm gone. I'm not. I'm just trying to get my my thoughts and everything back together. So you all know I work out religiously. I love exercise. I've been training for an elk hunt coming up, which was to start the 13th of September.
Yeah.
My buddy Roger Medley, who I was going to be out there with, who I want to introduce you to and have you maybe do an interview with him sometime on here. He's been on a couple times. So I'm just working out ready. And, you know, I've been having a little bit of chest pain. Mowing the grass, I'll slow down, it'll go away, I'll finish. I've been working hard on the treadmill, getting ready for this hunt, you know, and I'm getting steeper inclines and going harder and faster, and I'll get 10 minutes into it, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, man, I got this uncomfortable stuff. You see where this is headed. So I wasn't, and this has been going on for months. I didn't say anything because I'm like, it's, you know, it's a flesh wound. Uh-huh. You know, I'm just like, it's from lifting or I'm just tightening up or whatever. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I knew better because my whole family has a history of heart disease. My grandfather, before I was ever born, died of a heart attack. My dad had a heart attack. His brother Bill had open heart surgery. Another one had a heart attack. Bob died from it. They've all had this serious stuff. And I have this mentality. If I just ignore it, right, it'll go away.
Goes
it's
away.
Like, yeah. Like you turn the radio up in your car if you hear a sound going on. You know, I'll just ignore that, right? So I go to my doctor for a normal appointment, and he's like, hey, how are you feeling? I said, honestly, I'm feeling great. I'm getting ready for this elk hunt, and I'm feeling, you know, I am going to be 65. And I said, I'm feeling well, except when I do this, I have a little bit of chest pain. And he says, you know, you mentioned that to me like last February in our last appointment when you were shoveling snow. He goes, I think it could be like a reaction to the cold in the wintertime, some kind of an asthma or the grass when you're mowing. He said, but just for the side of caution, and I had a friend get a hold of me and said, you know, you need to do this thing. It's a calcium scan. It's called a CAC.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a $50 test. You can go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And he had found out that he had some really serious blockage and ended up having to have a stent put in. You know, they do a heart cath on you.
Yeah.
He said, let's go ahead and get you scheduled and let's get you in to do that. So Stacy goes with me. She works at the hospital, and we go in. They do the scan, and I'm waiting for the numbers, and I'm thinking, you know, 400 or less is what you want. You know, anything above that is high. Anything above 1,000 is extremely high. I had one friend have a stent put in with 1,100. I had another friend put one in with like 2,800. And I'm thinking, I'm probably going to be, you know, I'm in good shape. I'm going to be, you know, 370. I'm going to be in that because I'm all, yeah, right, you know, and Because everybody's like, dude, how old are you? Really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I sat there looking at the numbers when my portal came up, and you can get in your portal and look. It wasn't under 400. It wasn't under 1,000. It wasn't under 2,000. It wasn't under 3,000. It wasn't under 4,000. It was 4,410. And I'm like I am right now. I'm just going, this has to be a mistake. And it shows each artery, and it tells you, like, this artery, the number, your calcium score is 793.
Really?
This one is 1,700. This one is 1,500. This one was 373 or whatever it was. And they calculate those main arteries, and that's how you get the big
score. They add it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is in the calcium score, you have plaque that goes through your arteries. And everybody does. When you're born, you don't have it. As you get older, some people don't get much. And some people genetically or by bad diet, you know, whatever, they get more. And so it's the soft plaque when it breaks off that can kill you. So it's they're really looking to see what's this hardened calcium, you know, is a soft plaque. They're looking at all that. So he goes, you know what? We're going to get a stress test on you. I met with a cardiologist, was able to get in like 2 days after this.
Yeah.
And he said, we're going to get a stress test. So he sent me in very next day, and I go in there, and he's working me hard. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to show him what I can do, right? They're doing all this stuff. And he's working me on the treadmill. You know, we're at 14 or 17% is high. And he's going hard, and there's a TV with football, and I'm trying to make my mind go somewhere else.
Sure.
So I think about what I'm like. I didn't feel pain. Now, he went hard. He even said, he goes, man, he goes, I'm pushing you hard. And I said, well, I've been getting ready for this, and you know, and this hunt. And he goes, all right, have a seat here. And he keeps watching the little screen to see my blood pressure, you know, the number that's up there, my heart rate. And he goes, you know, I'd be unplugging you and letting you go. He said, but I need to call the cardiologist real quick. I'm like, why? He says, well, your number should be coming down to within this range, within this amount of time.
That's your heart rate per minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your blood pressure.
Okay.
Blood pressure is really what he's looking at. Oh,
so that pops up too.
Yeah. It's showing the whole thing. He goes, it's not coming down fast enough, which means your heart can't handle the load. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it'll be a stent. You know, and I'll still be able to go on the elk hunt here coming up in just over 2 weeks. So they go ahead and schedule me for a heart cath. I get in the hospital. You know, I'm laying in the beds 4 hours before they get me in. You're laying there, your mind's going nuts,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And the nurse comes in. She goes, well, we're probably going to go through your wrist, but we have to prep you in case we have to go through your groin. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, I was afraid of this. You know, so they're having to shave you and put, was it iodine, the orange stuff, whatever that stuff is, and getting ready. And I'm like looking at the ceiling and counting the tiles and everything you can, you know. So they finally wheel me in. And I remember them kind of putting the oxygen on me, and they said, we're going to give you a little something to just kind of make you rest. Well,
make you rest well.
I guess I want to sleep because it was like 45 minutes or an hour or something. But I remember when I didn't even know, but I had wakened up, and I'm looking, I can see the screen, and I can see my heart, and I can see they're inside of me doing stuff.
Crazy.
And before they do that, the one guy who's helping to get me ready, he looks at my chart, and he goes, what's your birth date? And I tell him, he goes, dude, good for you. You have really stayed in shape. And I'm thinking, yeah, I got that going for me. No fear here, right? When I'm done, they're unplugging the stuff from me, and they've pulled the thing out of my arm, and the cardiologist has taken his little blue gloves off, and he walks over to me and looks at me and he says, unfortunately.
Ugh.
And I'm like, I don't like that word.
Horrible start.
We can't put a stent in you. He said, you have substantial blockage. It would take 11 stents to do this. And I'm like, I'm just laying there hearing this. He said, to be honest with you, I don't even know how you walked in here today.
Oh, my word.
He said, usually we find these results in an autopsy. And he's telling me what
great bedside manner. Holy moly.
And he said, I just like to be honest. And he says, so stents are not an option for you. You have to have bypass surgery. Now, this was Friday. This is Monday, right?
Yeah, this is Labor Day. 3 days ago.
Yeah, this 3 days ago. So, you know, my wife's out in the waiting room. I can even feel the tension right now as I'm talking about this. They wheel me back on the bed and they shut the curtain and I'm there by myself. And I'm like, what do I do with this?
What's happening now?
Curtain opens up. Stacy comes walking and she looks at me with a smile like, well, you know, like we're praying for the best. And I just kind of, I don't know why I did it, but I kind of just took my hand and I just kind of went down the center of my chest and just looked at her and I couldn't talk.
Look, I don't know if jokes are okay, but it's better than across your neck.
Right, right.
Right?
But you know,
signal. You're saying
they're cutting me open, you know, and she just loses it. She's like, no, you're kidding. You're teasing. And I'm like, babe,
nope.
I can't even talk. I'm like, I wish I was.
Yeah. How could you?
So she's sobbing, and We're both in shock. We're in disbelief. And beautiful thing was, my daughter came all the way down 3 hours drive and surprised me just for this. You know, we didn't know. She just wanted to make sure she was with her dad.
Aww.
And so, long story short, I've already made a long story long, but long story short, I go in this Wednesday, 2 days from now.
Yep.
And I'll be meeting with the surgeon at 10:45 in the morning. So I would really appreciate your prayers. That's 10:45 Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
And they're going to schedule me. It could be the very next day. It could be 2 days. We don't know yet. So with all that said, there'll be a few changes, you know, that'll happen for a month or so. You know, this, I think God brought you here, Kevin.
I thought about the same thing. I'm like, I cannot believe the timing. It's just so unbelievable.
Yeah.
And yet so believable. His sovereignty.
You know, the whole thing with my buddy Brandon saying, dude, I had this scan done. You need to go get this scan done. He says, I think it's things like that. When we tell our buddies, this is important. And I'm saying this to you guys, if you're listening, you may think you're in the best shape or you may not be, but you need to get this scan done because like me, you're a ticking time bomb. And modern medicine, what they can do now, am I looking forward to this heart surgery?
Nope.
Yeah, like that 44, right? Just go ahead and shoot me. Yeah, that's about how much I'm looking to this.
Right.
Well, forward to this. But, you know, we've had people step up and say, you know what, you're going to need a recliner on the main level of your house because you won't be able to, we're bringing you a motorized recliner that you can have in your
house. That's the best.
They're already, you know, can we help with meals? There's all kinds of things people are doing and stepping up.
Yeah.
Like instantly. And it's humbling.
It is. It is. And it's tough to ask for help. I mean, especially dudes, we struggle with that. But you know what is really cool is when you don't even have to because everyone's just surrounding you. We've been praying for you, Brent, since we found out. Obviously, you found out fairly early on.
I was thinking about this. You know, Kevin and I are working on, you know, the Unleashed book right now, and I've got the Big Five Man Killers. And I was thinking about this morning as I was trying to make some bullet points, which I'm not even looking at. You know, I have the Big Five Man Killers, but here's the funny thing. What's one of the most feared animals in Africa? It's the hippo. You know, we know the Big Five Man Killers. Let's see, you've got the rhinoceros, you've got the lion, you've got the Cape buffalo, you've got the leopard, and you've got the elephant. But the hippo is one of the most feared.
Yeah.
So the lack, if you remember, the Big Five Man Killers goes, you know, the number one thing that men we struggle with is lack of purpose, then lack of respect, anger, lust, and shame. Fear was number six on that list that I never did because I'm going to make it the Big Five. And I started thinking about, well, there's the Big Six because you got the hippo, fear. And I was going down through this and making this whole thing up. And I went, you know what? We know the other ones that I just talked about. But what is it that lacks in the or that lurks in the shadows? It's fear. This came like the guy's coming up with the gun, right? With you.
Out of nowhere.
We weren't expecting this.
Nope. You were not. Neither were we.
And you think you are prepared and as strong as you can possibly be. But I'm telling you, when this kind of a thing hits, that night I didn't sleep. I haven't slept much. I did a little better last night.
Good.
But I'm laying there, it's 3:30 in the morning, and my eyes are wide awake and Stacy's wide awake and you know, she just puts her arms around me and we both cry. Mm. We just lay there kind of holding each other.
Yeah.
And pretty soon one of us, you'll start feel the other one start to kind of get emotional and we just hold each other and cry again.
Brent, some of the words the doctor told you were, Mr. Henderson, you are an extremely lucky man, right?
Yeah.
And his awesome bedside manner about saying normally they see this in cadavers. You know, and you just talked about timing and the Lord bringing us together and us being able to do this. And, you know, I won't be you, but I will continue the podcast while you have to be out. But Brent, this Colorado trip could have been the last time anybody saw you.
You know, I was making notes and I said something about when your dreams get interrupted, right? And there's something I want to share in a second before we actually start winding down. Cause it's really, to me, it's very important, but you know, it's like this elk hunt, it's already paid for. You know, I had to buy the regular hunting license, which was like $100 and some dollars, and your tag is $800 and some.
Yep.
Flights are not. I don't need flight insurance. I'm going, right?
Yep.
That's all gone. The time with my buddy, you know, out there that we were both looking forward to, you know, that's not going to happen this year. And what happens when your dreams get interrupted? You know, maybe it's something within your health. Maybe it's a divorce. You know, maybe whatever. When these things hit you, you know, the enemy does love to throw fear at you. And what you end up doing with it, you can either lie in it or you can renew your mind. And let me say something about that. It doesn't just automatically get better just because you start saying, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm good, right? I'm good. You're human. So let me just say that you're human. You will feel it. So there's no shame in that. But here's what I do know. That the scriptures that you've hopefully grown up with, or maybe you've been renewing your mind recently, maybe you're a new Christian, whatever it is, they will bring you comfort and peace. And it's that peace that passes all understanding, because you can't explain it when it happens. But you're going to go through it. It's a grief because you're thinking, things are going to change. Here I am, this person that loves to work out. Just a year ago, I placed in the top 1% of the muscle and fitness magazine that they had going on with all this stuff at my age, right?
Yes.
And now I'm realizing I'm going to have a scar that's going to run just below my, what is it, like where your collarbones come together, down to the top of my stomach. They're gonna split me open, right? I'm going to have that. They're going to be cutting veins out of my legs. I'm going to have some scars there. But here's what I'm realizing. I kept thinking about, like, when I was watching The Chosen and Jesus goes and he prays and he's crying, because I did the same thing. I went upstairs, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, and I'm praying and crying. And I keep saying, Jesus, Father, if this cup may pass from me,
right?
It's your will, not mine, right? And that's what I kept saying. But through this whole thing, those scriptures that I know keep coming back up. And if I keep my eyes on God, I'm good.
Amen.
It's when we start thinking about past and future thinking. We talk about that a lot. What ifs?
Yep.
You can't go there.
No.
God has a plan through this. And that scar that I'm going to have, I've been already thinking about this. That's going to become my testimony. Stacy said to me, she goes, I know it's going to be difficult now because you do work out. You always have tried to stay in really great shape. But now that's going to be your testimony that you're going to be able to share with other men.
I think you should get a tattoo that goes horizontal across it.
Hey, Doc, while you're at it.
Hey, can you cut me this way, too? So, I'd like to be the first to recommend Arnica gel for your scarring to help reduce it.
Okay, you'll have to tell me about it.
You're going to get 1,000 recommendations, I'd be the first one
you'll
to
have
say
to learn this.
Arnica gel.
I already know, I can't, that's not supposed to be in the sun for, the next year.
I'm sure there's all kinds of funky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Technology is amazing now, and yeah, I'm not looking forward to recovery. I'm not even really thinking about the surgery, even though you hear me talk graphically, you're like, oh my gosh, and I was like, yeah, I went through that in my head. For me, it's the recovery, because I want to go do, I can't for a while.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to have to suck it up for a little while, I'm afraid. But then, you know what? We all fully expect that, praise the Lord, you're going to be able to just go do it and do it with less concern.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and here's what some of my friends who have gone through this, they said, listen, dude, you're going to have a new heart. Mm. They're going to bypass this bad stuff.
Can you imagine? Seriously, no. That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine how.
New pipes, baby.
I know, to not have to worry about, being at altitude and pushing it. I'll be able to put that pack on now and go, right? And the whole thing with the new heart, here's where I want to go. And now I'm talking a lot today because obviously you can tell this is a big thing. And I think it's important because next week things are we're gonna probably record another podcast, which will come out next week after we do this, just so there's a little more there for you guys. But Kevin's gonna be taking over for a little while until I'm back on my feet, and then we'll be the two of us back doing this again. Yep. He'll give you updates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here's
that's why you should tune in, because I will give you updates.
You're right.
That's at least one reason to tune in.
Oh, he's got some funny stories. Oh, he just told me one that you'll hear. It's incredible.
Okay.
So. On a really cool thing, I'm going to take you guys back. When I was a kid, I think I shared in podcasts probably a year ago, when I was about 14, I had received Christ when I was 12 and baptized, and I put my hands up one night in bed, and I said, God, I want to know you. I don't know how to worship you. I didn't even know if people holding their hands up was something real or whatever it was. I just did it in the bedroom, and I said, God, I want what you want. And by the time I was about 21, I was 18 when I graduated, and I was 20 or 17. I was 21 when I came to college. I started having these dreams, and they were very specific, like prophecy, like kind of stuff, right? And I'm like, okay, that's Bible time. He doesn't do that now. Well, I want to share with you something that came to fruition, and it wasn't fast, but I knew the hand of God instantly. I have had a reoccurring dream for years, and in this dream, I'm in a house. It's a beautiful house. It's got two levels to it. And I want to go to this one room, but I can't go there yet. And I don't know why. This room is not finished. It's not complete, but the rest of the house is. And I have to keep waiting. And in this dream, one time in the dream, as I'm trying to go up those stairs to get to that room, there's a water main that breaks. And water is pouring down the stairs, and it's rotting the stairway so that you can't walk up these stairs. The stairs are no longer safe because they're not going to hold. And I couldn't understand why I would keep having this dream. This summer, we did some renovations on our house. It's two stories. And there's one part of the house that was my workout room, which we've changed. But it wasn't a beautiful place to go into. It was something that Stacy didn't realize. That's your kind of your place. But it just wasn't used much. Well, we finished it. New carpet, new furniture, new paint, decorations. And now it's like the room we love to hang out into. I really like to hang out, right? When I came home from the hospital the other day, I was by myself. And I started walking up the stairs. Instantly, that dream vision of the water coming down the stairs and rotting the foundation of this thing. And it was going to have to be fixed. It's my heart.
And you couldn't get to that room?
And I couldn't get to that room.
Yeah.
Until it was time.
Yep.
And I finally realized, and as I get to the top of the stairs, it opens up, and there's the room. It's finished. And I look on the wall, and there's two paintings that are abstract, and they're side by side. And I knew I was coming up there to be alone with God. And I looked and I said, God, give me vision. Give me clarity to see things that I couldn't normally see with my own vision. And I wasn't really meaning anything. And I looked at those two pictures, and all of a sudden, you see an angel's wings on each one of the picture. Like one wing on the left, one wing on the right. And I could see it. And I'd never noticed it before. And I went down on my knees, and I just began to, honestly, I started off with, I said, God, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this.
Yeah.
And then I said, God, I just need you to hold me. And for probably 30 minutes, I just prayed. I just talked to God out loud. My dog, we've got a golden doodle, and the thing's trying to lick my bald head, right? Oh, while I'm trying to do this. Finally, she's like, okay, he's not going to pick his head up.
Right.
And she lays down, and she goes out. And for about 30 minutes, I just kept talking to my Father. Everything goes through your mind in moments like that. Anything that you can think of, is there anyone that I need to forgive or that I need to ask forgiveness of? It's funny how everything comes into focus. It's not about a hunting trip that I'm going to miss.
Right.
It's not about a podcast.
Right.
It's about what's the most important thing. The journey is the destination. This is going to become a part of my story. I can't wait to share with you guys what God is going to do through this. I want you to feel encouraged and empowered and not afraid.
It's one more story, but it's not one more story. It's one more huge story that you're going to be able to add to your Rolodex of stories that's going to connect with more men.
Yeah, and pray for my wife and my family during this. Yeah. You know, it's tough because I've had to cancel my fall events, and I'm self-employed. As you can imagine, that's a big struggle for us because that's my fall income.
Yep.
Stacy had no more PTO left. You know, and they've already said, no, you need to be with your husband, at least for that first full week. So we have to get that, you know, and then we have to get people set up to kind of help out. So it is what it is. But I've seen God showing up already in some massive ways.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome, Brent. Well, you know, we love you, brother. I'm going to lead us in prayer real quick and then have you close us out on this podcast. How's that work?
Sounds good.
God, it is humbling and awesome at the same time that we get to come before you and present our requests to you. I heard it once said of another man, this man loves you and wants to serve you, heal him. We say the same for Brent. This man loves you, this man wants to serve you. We pray that through all of this, when he is done healing, that you will have worked mightily in his life, in the life of his wife and family, and that all of this, which I know Brent desires, it turns into just that much more glory for you and your kingdom. We love you, God, and Jesus, we pray in your holy name. Amen.
You know, as I wrap this up, I was thinking about what are we going to call today's podcast, and I think it might be Unleashed Heart.
Oh, that's a great name.
Because until you give your heart to Jesus fully and you surrender, it's not really unleashed. Because you're still holding on. You know, it's that, Father, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, right? I think you need to realize that God is the one. No one takes you home until God calls you home. Therefore, do not fear. So let me just end this with what you guys know is coming. And I want you to really think about this whole podcast now as I say this ending. Because when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, he is no longer held captive by the opinion of others or cares whether he lives or dies. That man is extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good because he's been unleashed. I will see you again.